Going into our final segment here with Farmer Greg, what do you have for us in this last segment? I'm going to try and not interrupt and just let you let you plow through.
So we're talking about creating a food forest, and there's this concept in edible landscaping or creating food forests called, it's basically the seven layers. There's seven layers of a food forest. And what it is it's the overstory trees is layer one. So the tallest layer of trees. And what we want for these, and mesquite and ash trees, cottonwood trees make really great overstory trees. They're providing a shade. The reason I particularly like mesquite and Palo Verdes as overstory trees is because they let some sun through. They're not a dense shade. And they're also nitrogen fixers. And basically what that means is that they're harvesting nitrogen from the soil and the air. And so when they drop all those little leaves on the ground, that's nitrogen, which is a fertilizer.
And they obviously are native, so they're less water and better drought resistant than ashes or...
Right.
So that's layer one. You're overtop trees, is that what you call them?
Overstory.
Overstory.
Yeah, overstory. And don't rake and throw those leaves away. It absolutely drives me nuts that people rake up their leaves, throw them away, and then bring in mulch. It's like leaf mulch from leaves is amazing for your garden. So if you don't want leaves in a particular place, find a place in your yard you can rake them to so they can break down, and that's making your soil. So the second layer is the understory tree layer. This is, shorter trees, fruit trees close to your house. So you got your big tall trees, then the understory is your smaller trees. Then there's a shrub layer. Shrubs are, edible shrubs are berries, mulberry that's an edible shrub. So there's, that's the layer that's, like 0 to 3 feet off the ground. Then there's the herbaceous layer. And the herbaceous layer is your herbs and vegetables, your kales and basils and those kinds of things. So that's your garden layer, essentially. And then there's the root layer. So I mentioned earlier that I grow sweet potatoes and Jerusalem artichokes. Both of those are root crops. So they're growing in the ground. In fact, I had a guy here a couple of weeks ago helping me prep my front bed for planting for the fall. And we were cleaning out a bed that had a bunch of sweet potatoes in it. And there were literally sweet potatoes that had a little root going into the ground, but the entire sweet potato was on top of the ground. They were that easy to harvest. So that's the root layer. And then there's the ground cover layer and the vining layer. The vining layer is the layer that kind of is like grapes and sweet potatoes. Sweet potatoes love to climb, cowpeas. So that's the seven different layers of a food forest. And if you basically all I did this morning is I typed in seven layers of a food forest and a shirt ton of information comes up. So if you're interested in that, you can definitely check that out. We are also, the Urban Farm is also, I haven't told you this yet, we're offering a permaculture design course coming up this spring. A permaculture design course is a 72-hour deep dive into permaculture and how to implement permaculture. And I call it the art and science of working with nature. How do you implement sustainable and regenerative systems in your yard? And so if anybody's interested, they can email me at greg@urbanfarm.org and we can talk about that. And in our permaculture design course, we talk about the seven layers of a food forest and how to actually implement them in your yard.
And that's urbanfarm.org. You could go sign up there. You have a ton of information there. You also have your own podcast. You do three a week.
Right. Yeah. I used to do three a week. That is way too much work. So I do right now. We're doing one a week.
Okay.
And it comes out on Fridays, but the Urban Farm podcast has 650 episodes that are out. And, I do it because I just like with you, we love chatting about this stuff. So I get to bring in all kinds of incredible guests that I get to learn from. That's how I learn a lot of my stuff.
I'm the same way. It's not what you know, it's who you know and what you can learn from them.
There you go. There you go. And we talked about watering and that kind of stuff earlier. And I have a, if anybody's interested, they can go to urbanfarmwater.com and download some videos on rainwater harvesting and like that.
And, you know, speaking of water, sometimes we do get that statement of, you know, well, we don't have enough water in the desert to grow our own. Well, I don't, they're not taking into account the amount of water it takes to bring food in. I mean, everything, shipping, transportation, that all consumes a massive amount of water. The creation of oil, the trucking, you know, I mean, all of these things, you know, we're, it's actually better to and more water smart to grow it here than exactly. be sourcing it and shipping it in from, you know, Mexico, Peru. Argentina, Peru, exactly.
Australia. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I get that. I get that a couple times a year. People say, well, why grow food here? And it's like the environmental impact. And it's not just the water. It's the plastic that this stuff is wrapped in. It's the environmental impact of shipping it for 100 miles or 1,000 miles or 10,000 miles. It's just, you know, grow your own food, because here's the deal. And I, you know, I'm not a right winger. I'm not a left winger. I'm kind of somewhere in the middle. But what I know is that we had two instances last year, COVID and a huge storm in Texas, that took out a lot of our food system. Our grocery stores were empty. The government's not going to be there to fix it. We have to figure out how to grow our own food so that we're food secure here in the desert. We have to do that. It's, I don't know what else I can say. We have to do that. I that's think why that, I do what I do.
I think that's your mic drop, Farmer Greg.
Thank you.